Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the sixth episode of the BerlinBrigade.com podcast, brought to you by BerlinBrigade.com. As always, I'm your host, David Guerra, and I am glad you could join me today. As always, a great big Berlin Brigade thanks to the United States Army Europe Band and Soldiers Corps for the intro music, Auf Wiedersehen. This episode, we're going to continue on with some great stuff and the great times we were having in the past episode. So, for those of you that have found us on the internet for the first time and did not serve in Berlin, welcome. It's our intent for you to have a good time, and also gain a deeper and better understanding of our time in Berlin, as well as the mission during the Cold War. That's what brought us there. So, for everyone else that was in the Berlin Brigade, thank you for coming back and listening again to another great episode. So, without wasting any time, everyone fall in, and let's get episode 6 started. This episode is being recorded and compiled on Friday, May 16, 2008. And as always, we divide this podcast into three segments. Segment 1, we talk about the website. Segment 2, it's all about special announcements. And segment 3 is strictly for special guest interviews. As always, I would like to thank everyone for visiting the BerlinBrigade.com website and listening to this podcast. Currently, the registry database continues to sit at 2,850 names and email addresses. On that note, I have a couple of administrative things to say. Late in April, last month, the main computer that drives my home network crashed. So what does this mean to you? Well, it means that the ability to add, make changes, and deletions to the registry has come to a screeching, grinding halt. We're not able to receive the registry emails that come in. It's, when you go and do the registry form, it shoots it over as the form of an email. We're not getting those. We're not getting those at all. What's happened then is the database has remained the same. So if you've submitted a registry form, a change of address, or you're a new person wants to get your name, hold off. We didn't get them. So if you did it anytime between April 12 and today, it's not, I didn't get it. So please be patient. I'm working on recovering the form and getting it so it sends the data in the right direction. I really don't know if the data is recoverable or not at this point. I will be working on it over this weekend, this 17th and 18th of May. That's exclusively just for that. And if it means having to change the registration form, I'll do it. We'll get it going on, and some of you might need to just resubmit your information. So please be patient. If you submitted something, please be patient. The official word is it's not lost yet. And I say this because I can't get in there at this point in time. I will get in over the weekend, then I'll make the official announcement if I need to. So, let's see. The computer crashed, the network crashed. I have been recovering all the data. Pretty much the main registry database is intact. All future and all past, present, and future interviews that have already been recorded are intact. The website remains intact. So pretty much that's it. So with all that recovered, we're not at 100%. But I do anticipate the online registry form to be the big one, to be operational soon. So between now and then, I do thank you for your patience and your understanding. It's just one of those things. The special announcements for episode 6 are: 1. The BerlinBrigade.com podcast is still on iTunes, and you can subscribe for your listening pleasure at your convenience. The link is on the homepage as well as the podcast archives page. So check it out. I do invite you to go ahead and download it on iTunes. We're going to work on a couple of other services real soon, but iTunes is the one we're on right now officially. I also want to continue to invite you to check out the link on the homepage of the website to the movie Bratz, Our Journey Home. It's a Donna Musil film narrated by Chris Christopherson, and it's all about military brats. It's pretty cool. Really nice story. As you know, we have some great Berlin Brigade gear and more stuff is coming online. It's all that swag and all that cool stuff, the shirts, the caps, the stickers, the buttons, everything. However, if you have an idea that you think will make a great addition to all the BerlinBrigade.com gear, please drop me a note at the podcast@BerlinBrigade.com and let me know, hey Dave, I've got this cool idea, what do you think? We'll talk definitely how we can help each other out on this one. Sorry about that. We still got one more. No, two more. Now, all as you know by now, all podcasts, all past podcasts are 100% online, plus some stuff that is exclusive to the archives page. So please enjoy going back and checking out all the previous episodes of this fine podcast series. As always, accessing the podcast is free of charge. There's no hidden links, no special passwords, no secret handshakes, just click and listen. As I also mentioned, the link to subscribe to iTunes can be found on the page as well. So without doubt, go back and listen. And we'll be adding more special exclusive archives page stuff only. Lastly, as a reminder, if you want to share your Berlin Brigade story with Inga and I, remember her from episodes 3 and 4? Yep. Then just drop me a note at podcast@berlinbrigade.com and I'll pass along your contact information. Guess what, my friends? That ends special announcements for this time. Okay, now we get to the interview part of the show, of the podcast here. And it's really a continuation of last episode's interview with John Parmenter. He was there, a member of Operation Long Thrust. He was there in Berlin. He kind of helped augment the forces in Berlin, him and his unit, not just him. I mean, he's an all-around good guy and everything. And back in his younger days, he sounded like he could have done it all. He probably could have. He could have just been him and the Berlin Brigade. You know, kind of like that Chuck Norris thing that's going around the internet. I don't know if you guys have heard that. But anyway, so, you know, it's like, you know, the Berlin Brigade reinforced by John Parmenter. No, I mean, you know, it could happen. But no, seriously, let's go ahead. Enough of me. Let's get back into the interview. A couple of things to know. We were having some technical difficulties that weekend, so this interview was done over the course of several days. When John was a great sport, he fought with it, through it with me, and we finally got it done. So what you're hearing, you're going to hear this interview. It begins on a Sunday. This second part begins on a Sunday, and it ends on a Monday. And you'll hear, I'll introduce that we have some problems. And, of course, unfortunately, I have yet to master the on-off switch of the microphone at this point of the interview taking process. And you still hear me sniffling. You still hear me draining my nose. You still hear me just sick. I don't know if y'all remember back in the early episodes. I was I wanted to start at the beginning of January. I had to wait until February because I was just laid out. And so I kind of pushed everything back, but I had not recovered. And I, you know, just earlier in this podcast, you heard me. It was, anyway, my throat comes and goes. There we go. So again, bear with me, bear with John, bear with the technical difficulties, and here's the rest of the interview. And we're back again. We've had another technical difficulty, but we're fighting through. And I want to thank John for definitely sticking it out and willing to fight through with me here on this one. But we're working it out. Some great stuff there, John, and I really appreciate your time. Well, you mentioned, and I think it cut off, so I'm not too sure if everybody got to hear it, but you were fortunate enough now to have several pieces of the wall. Well, you know, I think maybe back at that time the cement was still kind of drying, so it might have been difficult to get some of those pieces off of there. How close did you get to the wall back then? I mean, it was still tensions were still high. How close were you able to get to the wall back then?
Well, actually, we could walk right up to it. I remember being off duty one time over in the French sector, and you could walk right up to it, and we could see the East German Army border guards right on the other side on their little towers. I even took some pictures of them and had another fellow take a picture of me standing next to the wall with a German guard, East German guard on the other side. So I never did actually serve on duty at Checkpoint Charlie, although the officer in charge of Checkpoint Charlie at that time was from my battle group, who's a lieutenant. And again, I was just in an augmenting unit, which reinforced the Berlin Brigade. The one duty that I did not get to perform in Berlin that I would really like to have would have been the Spandau prison guard duty, which only the 2nd and 3rd battle groups of the 6th Infantry performed for the American forces, and none of the augmenting units got to do that. But it we did our duty in Berlin was was a lot of show the flag. Every week we had at least one parade, and some weeks we had as many as three parades. I was in the 1964 Armed Forces Day parade, which was, I understand, the first.
Okay, so, all right, so again, we're back. Another little technical difficulty. John, you mentioned about a Armed Forces Day parade.
Oh, yes. I think I mistakenly said that I had been in the 1964 Armed Forces Day parade, and it was in May of 1963.
Oh, I thought they flew you all back again. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Okay, so you were in the 63 parade?
Yes. Yes, and it was very quite an impressive parade. We had, the whole Berlin Brigade, three battle groups of infantry plus the tanks. All the vehicles were all shined up, and we were all pretty wearing white gloves and quite spiffy. And of course, we had our shiny Spandau green helmet liners on with our unit insignia. It was, I think, probably very impressive to people who were watching.
Yeah, and we're not.
Anyway, go ahead.
No. I said we're not going to mention what we used to shine the olive drab vehicles with, are we?
Actually, when we pulled into Berlin, we were in old vehicles that were hand-me-downs. They were, David, one of the things that the long thrust unit that I was talking about that came from the U.S. Over to Europe, one of the things we did was take some old vehicles that were set aside in West Germany waiting for us, and we would... With the help of the 7th Army Ordnance units, put them together, the vehicles and the crew-served weapons. And then we would use those during our stay in Germany, which is about 6 months. We would maneuver in West Germany with them and then into Berlin. Well, by the time we got to Berlin, they were old and certainly unattractive and had... Just good enough to use. The ordnance folks in Berlin not only made sure they were in tip-top mechanical condition, but they also put a real shiny paint job on all of them and oversized the white stars. And we would look good for all the parades that we had there. My unit pulled out of Berlin in late June or early July of 1963, and we returned to West Germany. We were replaced in Berlin by 2nd Battle Group 26th Infantry of the 1st Infantry Division, which, by the way, was the last of the long thrust units. We stayed in West Germany for about 2 weeks, taking care of bringing in our equipment and doing all these housekeeping chores, and then flew nonstop back from Rhein-Main right back to Forbes Air Force Base in Kansas. We were right back at Fort Riley, back in our same billets at Fort Riley. After we got back to Fort Riley, I attended the Fort Riley Non-Commissioned Officers Academy. And then the division underwent another major reorganization. We left the pentonic organization with battle groups, and we went to a system where the division had three brigades instead of five battle groups. And so I ended up in 2nd Battalion, 28th Infantry. Then we maneuvered again in Fort Linwood, Missouri, and then my ETS came around less than a year after I returned back to the States. Once I left active duty. I returned to Colorado, which is my home state. I attended Western State College in Gunnison, Colorado. obtained a bachelor's degree in psychology, sociology, emphasis on criminology. I went to work after a full-year degree as a welfare investigator for one of the counties in Colorado, and about a year after that, became a state parole agent and had a career in the state prison system, retiring as a state parole manager 25 years later, which was a mid-level management position. I retired at. But during that time, I was a special deputy sheriff in two counties. I taught, after I got my master's degree in public administration, I taught criminal justice at Metro State College in Denver. I worked also as a security consultant in Boulder, Colorado, and in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I even worked for a couple bondsmen as a bounty hunter or bail enforcement agent. So I had a very interesting post-military career, and then I retired here to Southern Colorado, where I now live out here on the high desert. I've written, researched and written a number of articles about my military experiences and related items. So you can find a number of them posted on Reinhard von Brunetsky's Berlin website, which is linked to your BerlinBrigade.com website at www.berlin-brigade.de. Also, I've written articles on criminology, which have been published in several publications in Colorado. Currently, I am a volunteer for the local sheriff in the county in which I live, and we have a courier system that I've been actually managing for the last 8 years as a volunteer, and we've been real successful providing a good volunteer program for our sheriff here. Also was a cold case investigator as a volunteer, unpaid volunteer for the local sheriff. So I've enjoyed my retirement, and will soon be 65 years old, and we'll just have to see what the future brings.
Oh, yeah, and it sounds like Berlin just put that sense of adventure into you, and you just haven't been able to shake it now, have you?
Well, I enjoyed my military service. I think that the time I spent in Berlin was very meaningful. I think it was, I might have mentioned before, one of the most important things I've done in my life, to be right there during the one of the major crises of the Cold War, to be, you know, face to face with the Soviets and their followers, to be engaged as it were with hostile forces in a situation where you were truly in the front line of the Cold War. I know of another. Former assistant common commander of the Berlin Brigade. His name is Dr. Stephen L. Bowman, who is a military historian who, in one of his articles, refers to Berlin as the powder keg of the world and discusses the very crises that we've discussed here during this interview. I'm not sure what else I could say.
Wow, you've covered pretty much a big big and interesting time of history there in Berlin. And definitely, it's great to have someone who was there and is willing to talk about it and in such an open manner. And that, without a doubt, is priceless. So I thank you for your comments.
Well, I feel privileged to be able to help you with this project. I might add about the condition of Berlin in 63. For the most part, West Berlin looked pretty good. But there were still some old bomb-damaged buildings. You'd go downtown, you'd see buildings which clearly had war damage. But it was pretty much cleaned up. It wasn't on the eastern side. The eastern side still looked like it was being cleaned up, probably hadn't changed a lot since 1945 or so.
Mm-hmm.
In my Berlin U.S. Military Veterans Association, I've met people who were there immediately after the war. Of course, at that point, Berlin was essentially a pile of rubble. But it had changed quite a bit by the time I got there, but still showed some war damage. Just within the past year, wrote an article about the day President Kennedy came to Berlin, and I quote a lot from his speech in that article. I included in that article, and I've had several people, including my wife, who are good critics of my art, my writing, and she said this is probably the best thing I ever wrote. But I quote a lot of Kennedy's "Ich bin ein Berliner" speech, and it's very inspiring. Certainly, the people of West Berlin were inspired. They considered, they treated President Kennedy as though he were a rock star. I mentioned that in the article. They followed his motorcade on foot, thousands of people, and they came up to down Clay Alley and on foot, and they were running in between the ranks of our honor guard, and it was quite an experience. But these people were very very happy. It was not like they were upset with him. They had heard him basically reassure them that the United States was going to stay in Berlin, and that's something that all of us who served in Berlin in any capacity can be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel fortunate to have served even for just 3 months as a part of that piece of history. Okay?
Oh, yeah. And definitely everybody and anybody that set foot there was there for a reason. And, you know, that's what makes us and sets us apart from, well, you know, from anybody else who didn't. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not trying to be an elitist or anything, but it definitely took a different person to be there. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And if you read General Schwarzkopf's books, you know, he served in Berlin, I think, in the 70s, perhaps the 60s. He comments that the best soldiers that he ever served with were in Berlin. So you didn't get any bad troops in Berlin. They were all good ones. And so the mission there was very meaningful. And orders. I've got a copy of these orders in my hand right now. It says, "Soldier, why are you in Berlin?" And the answer is, "To show the Berliners, your allies, and the communists the best soldiers in our army, to protect the United States lives and property, to help the West Berlin police keep law and order, to fight like hell if necessary, for United States rights and a free Berlin." And this is from orders in 1961.
Wow. And then that pretty much stood the test of time the entire time.
It did. And it's right up until the wall came down and the whole world changed with that.
Oh, yeah, easily. Well, speaking of the wall coming down, where were you when you heard about it, and what were your impressions?
Well, by that time, I was living near Denver, Colorado. It was something I certainly never expected to live long enough to see. I think a lot of folks of my generation just assumed that that wall was a permanent part of history, just like the pyramids I had mentioned earlier. But so it didn't really have a huge effect on me. I was surprised, but I was also delighted, and it was good to see that our perseverance, the stand that started with President Truman, had taken hold, and that essentially it was a demonstration of not just our resolve but our victory in that Cold War.
Yeah, that definitely took everybody by surprise, and I guess that's one of those very good surprises we like to get every once in a while. And so, yeah, definitely without a doubt. Hey, you got anything special going on? Anything we should be on the lookout for? Any projects you're with or you're trying to get started or anything like that?
Not now, David. I'm still tied in with working for the local sheriff. I don't have any article started now, and I'm not sure that I have enough in me to write a book, but I usually get inspiration from somewhere and sit down and knock off an article in a couple of 3 weeks, but I don't really have any projects going right now, I'm sorry to say.
Okay. Well, if you got a book in the works, let us know, and we'll get you back on here, and we'll talk about your book without a doubt. It sounds like you've got more than enough. I mean, you've got a lot of info there that definitely needs to get put down someplace, without a doubt.
Well, I've enjoyed life, and I've certainly had a lot of experiences.
Yeah, and it's fun. It keeps things fresh. Any closing remarks before we bring this interview here to a closer? Anything to the
No, Dave, I just appreciate this opportunity to offer some of my ideas and thoughts and some of the things, my experiences. I wish you good luck on this project, and I'll look forward to seeing not just my interviews, but the interviews of other people that you conduct.
Oh, well, thank you. And definitely, if you've ever say, hey, you know, I want to get back on there, I got something more to say, you know, just drop me a note. You're more than welcome to come back on. You have an open invitation.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Yeah. I'll do that.
Well, there we go. John Parmenter, and as a member of the Operation Long Thrust, and we thank you for your time, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you.
As we wrap up this episode of the BerlinBrigade.com podcast, I want to thank John Parmenter for being the special guest interviewee. Next time we have another special guest for you, and I know you'll like it. It's really cool, stuff on this next one. I mean, not saying that this one wasn't cool. They're all cool, don't get me wrong. But we're going to continue with the cool. How's that? Also, I want to extend an invitation to everyone to be on the podcast. We all would sure love hearing from you. So please, drop me a note at podcast@BerlinBrigade.com. There you go, podcast@BerlinBrigade.com. And let me know you're interested. We have plenty of awesome interviews on tap, and I know that there are still some great stories out there to be told. Here we are. And, you know, I mentioned it last time, but now, you know, if we were still in Berlin, this weekend would be the first parade, if not the second, but I want to say it would be the first parade of the season. So it's pretty cool because it is Armed Forces Day. Remember that? Yeah, pretty cool. So I invite you to share your parade season story with us. Definitely, if you've got them, we really want to hear them. Everyone has a story, I know, about the parade season. Whether you were in the middle of the marching madness or in the stands watching us walk on by, or if you were one of those guys who were up on top of the buildings with the binos looking down on the paraders, I think it's time we knew exactly just who you were looking at, okay? Because it's been time. I think we can all know now. excuse me. This invitation is open to everyone, so please, I mean, we want to hear your story. You are all important. You are important to all of us, and we want to hear from you. We, as in the collective, okay? So, you know, step up and say, hey, Dave, my turn. And, you know, stuff like that. And just tell us what's going on. But like I said, let's focus on parade season. Let's get some pretty cool parade season stories under our belts. And then we'll move on to Volksfest. And then we'll move on to RTEP. Oh, yeah, we love RTEP. And let's see if we can get some holiday stories. Those are pretty cool. Those are always some awesome times. And, of course, some veal flicking stories. Now, what kind of Berlin Brigade person would you be if you didn't have a veal flicking story? Now, that doesn't mean that we're only going to stick to the theme. No. I mean, if it's parade season and you want to talk about veal flicking, you know, we'll talk. Of course, you know, we'll always talk about the East. We'll talk about just barracks life, McNair, Andrews, BB compound, T-Berg, Marienfelde, Tempelhof. Anywhere we were, there we'll always talk about that without a doubt. Checkpoint Charlie, Checkpoint Bravo and Alpha. The duty train, that was always fun times. Remember that guy with the push cart, marble cake, coffee? Yeah, that was pretty cool. So anyway, there's a lot of great stories out there. I know we've got them. I know I'm just sitting here and I'm thinking about mine, and it's like, man, that's a lot of stuff we did. So, again, don't let that stop you. Come on up. We want to hear from you. As always, you know, it's nothing too intense. We're just going to sit here, have some fun. You've heard enough interviews by now. It's just us talking, and it's just our story. So, without doubt, remember, this is your opportunity to talk. So, come on, join the conversation. Now I got to close this. So, until next time, please join us for another exciting podcast when you will hear me say, one crazy night that the Soviets did something unexpected. I am Dave Guerra. Thank you for listening to the BerlinBrigade.com podcast. Command Sergeant Major, dismiss the brigade.